Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hull.
And I'm Dorothy, and we have some pretty good news.
Yeah, we got our VMware server in. In fact, I set it up and installed it in the rack. And yeah, this is pretty cool.
You did some configuration as well, right?
I did some basic configuration just to get it in the rack.
Tell us first, which one did you get, what's in it, and what did you do?
Yeah, so a lot of this information is going to be in our show notes, but I went with the bigger box. So last episode, we actually talked about that, and I put a link in our show notes to the two items that I was looking at, the two servers I wanted to get, and I decided to go with the bigger box. So this has an 8-core processor. I should say it's a Supermicro motherboard. It's got an 8-core processor, 128 gigabytes of RAM, and then it's got an NVMe card in there. I think that's 250 gigs, and then there's another SSD in there that's 500 gigs. And so when I did the installation of ESXi, I went ahead and did the installation on the NVMe card, which I may have to change at some point. We're going to have to figure out what ESXi configuration is going to work best for us. So that's something we're going to work on down the road. But I had to go into the BIOS to do some, you know, configuration in there. The big thing is you have to set up the IPMI IP address in there so that when you want to remotely access the system, whether it's powered on or off, doesn't matter, you can access it from the IPMI side. So there's an IP address on there. There's a username and password. You log in and you can power on the system, power it down. And I think you can even do an operating system install from IPMI, which is kind of cool.
Oh, wow.
So if we ever have an issue with VMware, there might be a way for us to remotely reinstall VMware. I haven't tried that, but it looks like you could potentially do that. So IPMI is configured. And then again, I did some stuff with the VMware side, got that configured. And the network piece is getting a bit confusing because we now have multiple subnets, IP addresses all over the place. And that's where your diagrams come into play. That's where your documentation comes into play. One of the reasons why we're putting all of this together and taking the time to do this is because we want to have a better lab environment where we can learn more about Windows 10, Server 2019, some security tools like Security Onion, Wireshark, Suricata, which is an intrusion detection system. All that stuff's great, but you have to have a place to test it.
Well, you got to get the basics down first and then, you know, move on to that kind of thing like, you know, I already done the network diagram, you know, of our rack with all of our devices, you know, how they connect to each other. We do need to do the IP addresses next before we can move on to the next thing. But I had a question for you. VGA cable, what's up with that?
So a lot of the servers still use VGA. Why that is, I have no idea, but they still do that. So if you're going to set up a Dell server, there's VGA on that. If you're going to set up like our Supermicro server, VGA only.
Yeah, you had to go out and get a cable, right?
I did. And so, yeah, this is one of those things that you don't think you're going to ever need a VGA cable again. And then you do server work and it's like, oh, wow, I need a VGA cable. and you can actually get an adapter. There's HDMI adapters that you can get for VGA. But, you know, the place that I went to didn't have it. I called somebody else. They didn't have that. So then I asked them if they had a VGA cable. Is that, oh, yeah, we do have that. And fortunately, I have an older monitor that I'd saved that had VGA on there so I could use that and get our server configured. But here's something that I want people to think about. We're trying to learn Fortinet, so we have our 60F in the lab. You have a 60F firewall. Originally wanted those two things to talk to each other. I haven't figured that out yet, so we would have an automatic VPN, or they would be tied to each other, so the VPN connection would be always there. And then any traffic that you wanted to go to, let's say, for example, the VMware server, from your home network, you would automatically just go there. You wouldn't have to have like a VPN client to do that. It would just work. So that's not configured. And then we have the, we tried to do the Fortinet SSL VPN client on Windows, and that lets us connect, but then it doesn't work properly. We can't access anything on the lab side.
We still have a lot of work to do, though.
We still have a lot of work to do. And so I'm looking at firewall configurations, firewall rules, subnets, IP addresses, VLANs, and then there's ESXi, there's an internal network for ESXi, there's some subnets we have to do for ESXi, there's a switch inside of ESXi, there's IP addresses we're going to have to manage. So if I want to do things with Windows 10 or maybe Security Onion. I've talked about that before. All this other stuff has to work properly in order for me to be able to remotely access VMware and then set up a virtual machine running, you know, Windows 10 or Security Onion. So there's a lot that has to happen in order for those things to function properly.
There's a lot of network engineering that has to go on before you're able to do security.
And once we get all of this up and running, I can be at work, you can be at home, I could go to a coffee shop, and guess what? We could access our VMware server. And even if the VMware server is powered off, what do? I go in through the IPMI interface, power it on, log into VMware, start my VMs, and I'm good to go. So this lab is going to be pretty awesome, but I just want people to understand that there's a lot of stuff that goes on in there just to get this up and running. Again, Fortinet, switching, IP addresses, subnets, VLANs, all of that is a part of that VMware environment so that we can run a Windows 10 VM or Security Onion.
See, and for me, just trying to learn how to create my own lab to be able to test all the videos that I'm watching on Windows 10 on how to make it work. And because I don't just want to create a domain and then join the user to the domain and do a global policy and say, well, yabba dabba do, I'm done. I want to do user profiles. I want to be able to fix a wrong one or a corrupted one or delete it, you know, create a new one. You know, I want to do all of it. I really do, because, you know, my whole goal for this is when I'm done with all my labs on Windows 10 before I take my test, I want to be able to know that I can do it inside out, because I want to have a really good set of skills. And I'm excited for the opportunity. You know, mine is probably not as difficult as yours, because you have all the security tools that you want to learn and all these enterprise things that you're going to want to learn. I'm just doing one little baby piece called Windows 10 that for me is humongous. For other people would be like, yeah, I can do that, you know. And you've always set up my labs. That's the part that I'm really scared and nervous, but also excited to see if I can create a lab that, you know, I need to understand how to create the lab to be able to do the things that I want to do.
Yeah, and that's the reason why we have our VMware server. That's the reason why I rushed out to get this thing and get it installed and working, because we have a lot of different things that we want to play around with. And your Windows 10 stuff is not going to be as easy as you think it's going to be.
Oh, I don't think it's going to be easy.
But that's the mistake that a lot of people make. They say, okay, Windows 10, oh, it's easy, I can do Windows 10.
I'm talking about people like you guys in IT that you look at it and think, oh, you're just doing Windows 10, try to do Security Onion or try to do, you know, some configuration of a firewall like you did, you know?
Windows 10 is way more work than people think it is, especially when you're trying to do security, because within Windows 10, you have to think about things like incident response or endpoint detection and response, right? EDR is a big deal. Well, how did you do EDR? How does that work? And how does that work on Windows 10, right? So one of the things I want to do is to be able to say, okay, we have a domain environment, right? We're running 2019, we have Windows 10. If something bad happened, we got a virus, we think somebody's doing something they're not supposed to be doing, how would we detect that? What kinds of things do we need to be able to turn on to see all of that? And what tools are we going to use to be able to see some of that? And we're a small environment. You know, there's only two of us. And other smaller environments where they may not have an IT department, or their IT department is two or three people, or maybe it's even eight. There's not enough money in those organizations to buy fancy tools. There's not enough knowledge in those environments to understand how those fancy tools even work. And so what I want to do is I want to be able to say, here's a domain environment, here's Windows 10, here's 2019 server, here's Active Directory. What are some things that we can see within this environment that kind of gives us an idea of what's really happening behind the scenes? Like, when did somebody log in? Is that login time correct, or is it out of normal, you know, business hours? Do we see any services running in the background that shouldn't be there? You know, are there, what I'm looking for are those IOCs, indicators of compromise, right? And those indicators of compromise are going to be a process that shouldn't be there, logging in after hours, you know, applications that shouldn't be installed. Those are some of those things that might indicate that something bad's actually happened and we should go do something about that. It's an actual incident.
Right. And for me, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to try to figure out which logs are critical to look at. What am I looking for? You know, what kind of logs and what kind of information certain logs give me to be able to understand what the norm, they create a baseline of what the network usually looks like, you know, what the normal thing is. So then when you come in and you're trying to look for your incident response kind of thing, you at least can tell, okay, this is the norm and this right here does not fit the norm. I mean, not to say that we're not going to have a, you know, something that is not going to fit all the time. You know, there'll be kind of odd things here and there. But at the same time, I really do think that for me, the learning on how to create a baseline, try to understand what I'm looking at and what these logs are trying to say, or, you know, what the environment is supposed to look like is going to be crucial.
And then even some basic things like how do you set up a domain environment the proper way?
Right.
Because that's something that a lot of people don't know how to do. I mean, I've seen a lot of situations where in smaller environments, the domain is just a bunch of garbage. It's junk. It's a mess. And you can't figure out how to manage any of that. Now, granted, I'm not an AD expert, but there are times when you go to look at something and you realize, hey, I have these things in here. There should be stuff here. I don't see anything. Why is that? You know, it's confusing. It's not straightforward. It's hard to figure out why somebody chose to set things up that way. And then if you ask some people who know what they're doing, because I've been in those situations, they're like, hey, this thing is totally messed up. We should have just erased everything and started over and created a new Active Directory environment. Because there's a lot of things in Active Directory that people don't understand. And so, you know, when you say, hey, I don't really know these things, well, guess what? A lot of people in IT don't know it either, right? And that's why you have these issues, especially when it comes to incident response. And when somebody gets a virus, people sort of get panicked and they freeze and they don't know what to do. And they're like, okay, the antivirus software quarantined this. Now what do we do? Well, first of all, you have to plan for that. It's no point in having antivirus on there if you're not going to do anything when you see something, or you're paralyzed when something happens because you're like, okay, I know how EV works. It catches the viruses, but there's more to it than that, right? What's the next step? How do you know that that hasn't spread through your entire network?
Well, and how do you know that's one of the viruses that's in their library? I mean, you don't know. You don't know if it's gotten in there yet.
Well, no, the thing that I want to point out is that, you know, these different things happen and people just don't know what their next step is going to be. It's like something bad may be happening and you kind of like, okay, like a virus is easy to say because the antivirus will say, okay, here, I found a virus.
Right.
But what's the next step? You know, what do you do?
Oh my God, now you're aware. And no, I mean, it's like you were saying, we need to create a process for things that are going to happen in the network. And getting a virus is one of the things that, you know, could happen to the network. So how do you respond to that?
And the thing that I sort of want to point out here, and the reason why we take all this time and effort to try to figure these things out is because we want to know how this stuff works. And so our lab is now, like we were, you know, in the beginning of the year, we talked about creating an environment that's more enterprise-like. And I can tell you, having worked in certain enterprise environments, that our lab is so complicated, and it's enterprise level because we have, I don't know, there's three or four subnets.
Got VLANs.
You know, yeah, there's three or four subnets with the subnet VLAN combination that's just for regular stuff. And then you have the VMware environment, which has, you know, another three or four different subnets for the different things we might do inside of that VMware environment. And then what, you know, if you've never seen VMware before, that's its own little network, right? So you have a switch in there. You have IP addresses in there. You might have to do routing inside of that. So there's a lot of things going on inside of that VMware environment. And you got to be aware of some of that. So, you know, there's a lot happening on our little network that, you know, goes well beyond small environment. It's you know, you can't do anything in this environment without documentation. You would be totally lost.
Because we've done that before, and we've been totally lost when we didn't document it. And you and I had this conversation. There's still a lot of people in IT that will not use VLANs because they don't know how to do it.
Exactly. And that's the kind of thing that I'm kind of big on in terms of where we go with our lab and why we're doing all of this. Again, I want to recap some of the things that we've been, we sort of started out with, right? So before we got our Fortinet equipment, we had a Meraki firewall, which we didn't do a whole lot with. I mean, it was complicated because there was a lot of routing happening on the firewall,
But we didn't maintain it like we're about to do with this one.
Exactly. And you'll see eventually we will do less and less with the firewall. And the only thing that we really will be looking at are the logs and seeing what kind of traffic is going through that and getting our baselines and then saying, okay, if this is the kind of traffic we have going through it, let's block some things. Let's not allow certain things, right? We'll get there, but we're not there yet. But what I look at here is that, especially for me, I sort of generalized in a lot of different things, right? I thought I wanted to do server. Then I went network because nobody was doing that. So I got Cisco certified. And now I'm able to look at the networking side and kind of understand that. So on our Fortinet equipment, like I said, we have like four or five VLANs, subnet combination, where that's just regular stuff that we have on there. And then our VMware stuff is on top of that. So when you're thinking about security or getting into security, you kind of have to know a little bit about everything. And I've said this before, but like our lab, we built that ourselves, right? So we did the Fortinet, we did the subnets, we did the IP addressing, we did the, we're trying to do a VPN connection, right? We just tried that a little bit ago with the Fortinet SSL VPN client, and it's not working because I missed something somewhere, right? So if we look at our firewall rules, you know, you have to, if subnet A wants to talk to subnet B, you have to have a rule in the firewall that says, okay, you're allowed to talk to each other, right? So there's a lot of things happening here before we even get to security. And like you talked about Windows 10, and I talked about the fact that in a domain environment, a lot of times you have garbage in there because the domain's not set up properly. It's not managed properly.
Right.
So how do you do security in an environment where you have chaos, right? And so, again, if you're going to be in security, you need to have at least some understanding of how Active Directory works because some of the logs you want are in there. You want to make sure that the domain is set up properly so it's not goofy, and then you have issues trying to figure out what's going on, and you can't tell if there's an actual security incident or if that's just a messed up, you know, network or Windows domain. So there's a lot happening here, and you and I are going to have to sit down and come up with a process for all of this so that our lab functions the way we want it to.
And I don't, you know, really understand how you can do security without a basic understanding of networking, you know, because just on our labs, the amount of network engineering that goes on is insane.
It is. And we will talk more about this as we go through that, because one of the things that you're going to do is you're going to start to begin to document some of these things, right? So what I want you to sort of focus on mostly on all of this is your Windows 10, right? That's the big thing, is focusing on Windows 10, getting your labs in there. That's the whole reason we got the VMware server, right? And that should be your main focus. And then the rest of it, I want you to document it little by little so that you have an understanding of how things happen in the background. So if something does go wrong, you might be able to troubleshoot some of that. You might be able to say, hey, I think that this is not working because of, and then you go there and you try to see what's happening and you try to figure out why it's broken. And you may be in a situation where you're too afraid to click on something, or we've decided that if that has to be changed, we have to have a change ticket and we both look at that and we both, you know, try to figure out why it's not working, right? Things like that are going to happen. But your main focus is going to be your Windows 10, right? How do I create a domain environment with Windows 10 and Server 2019? How do I use VMware to do that? You know, what are some system requirements I have to have for 2019 in my lab environment? What are the system requirements for my Windows 10 in the lab environment?
Right.
how many Windows 10 machines do I want to have? Do I want to have 4 or 5? Because you could probably do that. Right. You know, so that's kind of how I see this as, you know, this is the beginning of some really cool stuff, but look how much work went into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that alone, but imagine, like I was telling you, I wanted to do user profiles. I also want to learn how to migrate files or migrate applications or, you know, and that stuff is scary to me because, oh my God, I mean, doing this in a live environment to where you may lose somebody's files and documents and everything under the sun. You know, I want to have one of those weird networks that you talk about that is like set up so weird that how do you straighten that up in a live environment? And I want to pretend to do that. You know, I just, and the thing that I really want to do, and you know that at times I've been fearful of touching the devices because I didn't want to break something. But when you have a virtual machine that worst case scenario, you corrupt it to where you can't do nothing and just delete it and start over. What's the worst thing that can happen? That I get more experience? Boo-hoo, you know? So I'm excited.
Yeah. So I think that's it for now. I got to go fix a VPN connection because it's not working.
Yes, you do.
So I have no idea why it's not working. I have those kinds of things configured at work. So I may have to go and look at that to figure out why ours isn't working. But if you have any comments or questions, you can go to our website at section9.us and send us a ticket. You can ask us about our network, our VMware, whatever you want. And we're going to have a bunch of stuff in the show notes. I'm going to have a link to the actual server that we have. You've got some videos to watch for VMware, you know, how I set that up, just some basic stuff in there. I'm going to have links to those in our show notes. And then I may add some stuff in there for how to actually do some basic things inside of VMware. Like how do I create a VM inside of VMware using ESXi, right? So I'll have some of that in there as well. But I think that's it for now. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.